find hope and survival. That does it for our show. We want to wish Ravi Karan a very happy 10th anniversary with Democracy Now! And our speaking schedule this weekend, Juan Gonzalez speaks at noon today at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. I'll be speaking tonight at 8 p.m. in Albany at the SUNY Albany Symposium on Telling the Truth in a Post-Truth World, along with Bob Schieffer, historian Douglas Brinkley, and New York Times reporter Glenn Thrush. Then on Saturday, Juan Gonzalez will be speaking at that same Albany Symposium at 11:30. Check our website for details. That does it for the show, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Denita Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Tarina Nadura. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Saturday, October 21st, it's the 10th Annual Record Show. WHFR is hosting its annual record show, and you don't want to miss it. In addition to our own collection, there will be independent vendors featuring CDs, vinyl records, videos, cassette tapes, 8-track tapes, memorabilia. There will be door prizes, giveaways, and much more. When? Saturday, October 21st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Where? In Building M, in the Student Center on the campus of Henry Ford College. Early admission from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Come early. Stay all day. Leave for lunch and come back if you want. Shop until you drop. Whatever you do, just don't miss it. Saturday, October 21st, it's the 10th Annual Record Show. For more information, go to our website, whfr.fm, and click on the Record Show icon.
Hey, brothers and sisters, this is Wayne Kramer, and I'm ready to testify that WHFR is the only alternative radio station in Detroit. Making waves since 1985, WHFR 89.3.
Ooh, Wayne Kramer, you testify. I love it. Susan McGraw here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is 1 o'clock and time for the new WHFR Journal. Right here on 89.3 FM WHFR Dearborn. Joining me in studio, as always, is my cohort. I was going to say partner in crime, but we haven't done that yet. So
no,
that's
not yet.
A good thing. Yeah, Alan Mazurek.
Lots
is
of
here.
Life left to live. I guess. So, yeah.
How are you, Alan?
Wonderful. How are you doing this
good.
Afternoon?
I'm not firing on all cylinders, but I think at least another one kind of kicked in. So I'm at least barely. At least I can communicate now. It's not the greatest season allergy-wise. I'm a fall, so the fall season really affects my allergies. But I feel okay. It's just it sound a little funky, but thanks for bearing with me.
I was going to say, I thought you started chain smoking again. Not that I know I that you
like.
Ever have, right? Yeah. Right.
No. Oh, it's an awful habit. Anyway, we have a lot going on this show today, and for the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about sports. We're going to talk about some non-traditional opportunities for people in the workforce. We're going to get into some art as well as a discussion on some things coming up with our HFC Theater, and that and more as we move forward on this edition of the WHFR Journal. Do note that the views expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the views of Henry Ford College, its Board of Trustees, administration, faculty, staff, or its students. So it's our comments and our thoughts. And speaking of comments, we've got an awful lot to talk about when it comes to sports. I'm joined in studio as well with Josh Hebert, who is our roving sports reporter and our student representative here at Henry Ford College in the telecommunication program, and also doing some work with the journalism program here on campus. And we're also joined with the athletic director for Henry Ford College, Ms. Rochelle Taylor. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you kind of jump in here and take over, Josh. You've got some questions, I know, for Ms. Taylor, and we'd love to see what you've got to enlighten us all with today.
Okay. Hi, Ms. Taylor. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and thanks for having me here.
Yeah, no problem. Volleyball is in full swing. How is the team doing so far this year?
Let me tell you, we couldn't be more excited. You may know, and your listeners may know, we just bought our volleyball program back last year. And as an athletic administrator, I know it typically takes about 3 years when you're bringing a new program back to really get out in the community, to get your recruits in, and to kind of get a good rhythm and be very competitive. Well, we're just in year two, and we're really, really pleased that our team is currently in third place, holding very steady at third place. We're in the second half of the season. We've had some big wins, and if we can maintain our momentum, it looks like we would be able to compete in the postseason play, district tournament. And that's really huge for us in just our second year. So we're really, really happy and pleased and supportive of that program.
Okay. With the volleyball team, I know last year they had a few troubles coming back with just starting again. This year, who have been some of the standout players?
We have a couple of players that are currently ranked as it relates to specific play. So the NJCAA, our national governing body, which covers all national junior college athletics programs, they do rank the top players, typically the top 50 in the nation. So we have Cheyenne Lasinski, who is really acing on the serves. So she's doing an excellent job. She started off in the year ranked number 48. She's moved up since then. So they're really tracking her ability to get that ball over and that ball not being able to come back. Cheyenne is a sophomore. She was a freshman with us last year, and we've seen a lot of growth and development from her. Ziggy Walker is one of our players that plays right at the net, one of our defensive specialists, and she's been doing an excellent job on the kills there. So we have two players that are really showing that they can play with anyone in the nation, kind of leading some of our conference standings and really making a huge impact on how well we're performing this year.
Okay. To wrap up volleyball right now, when is their next game and, more importantly, their next home game for the season?
Our next and final home game will be on next Thursday, which will be October 24th at 7 o'clock. We'll play St. Clair County. Now, St. Clair is on our heels. We've been going back and forth with St. Clair. We were tied for third with them earlier in the week. We were able to pull off, but they are a close fourth. I think it's going to really come down to that very last game with St. Clair to determine where we finish up in the conference and if we'll be able to go to that postseason tournament. So it's going to be a great game, and I hope that we can pack our gym and really show the support that we have for our Lady Hawks.
Okay. I see you have a men's basketball schedule there. So basketball is getting ready to start, I assume.
Basketball is getting ready to start. As I was heading over here, the guys were in the gym going to do a walkthrough, have a little team dinner. They're actually going to hit the road tonight, heading to Elgin, Illinois, for their first for our first opportunity to have our team play. You may know we have a new coach this year. We only have four sophomores coming back, so it's a really new program. They're going to do play a couple of games in Illinois, and I know when I was interviewing and hiring our new coach, he indicated, as it related to scheduling, he felt like to be the best, you have to play the best. So we actually, for our very first game this season, we're heading out, and we're going to be playing South Suburban, which finished number 6 in the country last year. And we're playing Triton College, which finished number 4. So as you can see, there's not a lot of fear here, but we feel like we'll definitely have a good look at our team, and they will get a good understanding of what it will take to be successful in this conference, or actually in this nation, because our goal is to have our team go and compete for a national championship within the next 3 years.
When is the basketball team's first home game? You said the final home game for volleyball is next Thursday. Right. So,
well, they're going to have a scrimmage against Rochester College on November 1st at 7 p.m. That's a Wednesday. Our first official game, full game, will be on Wednesday, November 15th against Kellogg Community College.
Okay. Now, jumping from basketball into wrestling, I don't know if many of our listeners know, Susan, but wrestling has made the jump from club to varsity. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a wrestling club for 4 years, and we have had that team, many of those wrestlers, represent Henry Ford College at a national level all 4 years. We've been able to have qualifiers. We have over 24 Henry Ford students that have competed at a national level with the National Collegiate Wrestling Association. And in the last 2 years, we've come back with two All-Americans. So we realized pretty quickly that this would be a great opportunity to have this team, this club now compete at a higher level, which is the NJCAA varsity level. So this is our first year, same coach. Coach McKenzie does an outstanding job. He's been Great Lakes Region Coach of the Year for the last 2 years, for two of the past 4 years, rather, and he's doing a great job. So the wrestling team is going to begin. They're practicing now hard every day. Their first tournament or their first match will be October 29th, and we're actually going to host a wrestling tournament here, just one for the year. We're going to host on Sunday, November 12th. We'll be having schools from all over Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, here in our gym. That will be a Sunday at 9:30 a.m. So an opportunity for anyone that wants to see the wrestlers up close and personal, they would be in our gym on Sunday, November 12th. Other than that, they're traveling all over the Midwest region, getting ready for their competition, and we hope that they'll still be able to compete at a national level, even though they're moving to NJCAA. So we're really excited about seeing how they're going to perform at this next level.
Okay. Any other sports that our listeners may not know that the college has, any under-the-radar type things?
Well, I hope they know that we have a golf program. We have been fairly successful with golf. We had a national qualifier that would be 1 year ago. We were able to have a wrestler go to the national championship for the NJCAA. We have a very young team this year. They've just completed their fall season. We finished 4 out of 9 in our conference, but they will pick up again in the spring, and that's their opportunity to continue to participate in tournaments, but then have an opportunity for state and regional play, and that all gears them up to see if we'll have anyone that'll be at a national level there. And then, of course, we have baseball and softball that will be competing in the spring.
I know last spring I saw some flyers around campus. What is this roller hockey team that we have here?
That's a good question. I'm going to learn what that is tomorrow, because we did start a roller hockey club, and that was at the the insistence, really, of some of the students here that just felt like they wanted to be able to compete in that sport. The college was willing to go ahead and have them form, and they are actually going to be competing tomorrow and Sunday at the Joe Dumars Fieldhouse in Utica, so 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. tomorrow. It's a new sport for the college. It's definitely a new sport for me. I will be there tomorrow to cheer them on, but to learn as much as I can about roller hockey. I've never in my career have had an opportunity to work with that kind of sport. So I think it'll be fun. Now, the early prediction from the coach yesterday was, and I quote, "Miss Taylor, we should win a national championship." So, you know, I'm really interested in seeing how these guys are going to perform tomorrow.
It sounds like the coach is very confident in the team and that we have a good program already starting.
That's what it sounds like. So I'm interested. But they'll be playing again Saturday and Sunday out in Utica, two games both days. And so I'll should have some updates for roller hockey as we get into the season.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have just a question or two for you, Rochelle. You've shared insight on ways that our community can come out and support our Hawks, our Lady Hawks, our Hawks, all the different sports teams. But speak a little bit to the value of having this quality, this level of sports at our community college level of studies.
Yeah, I think it definitely... we're really excited that our coaches and our players do a great job getting ready for competition. And I think it really adds to our campus life here. We do have students on all of our activities, all of our sporting events are free for HFC students just with their student ID. And it really makes a difference for our players when they have, you know, when they have their own fans and family rooting for them in the stands or, you know, on the fields and et cetera. But I think that it definitely elevates. Our goal is to have our athletic program known more widely so that it will again attract and let others know what's going on at Henry Ford College. We love having our fans come in and support us as well, and we're basically really proud to share and show off the hard work that our students and our coaches do. So I definitely think it adds to the campus value here.
Certainly. How about recruiting? Do coaches work on recruiting high schoolers?
Yes, they do. And we have players that come from not just the Dearborn area, not just the Detroit area. We have players downriver as far as Pontiac. We've had players from Ypsilanti and Toledo. I think students see value in competing at a two-year program, and many of our students in most of our sports have an opportunity to go ahead and play at a four-year school. So, and that's really our coach's role, is to say we want to have a stronger program as possible. One of the reasons, for example, basketball is going to Illinois is to expose our students to coaches, four-year schools that would not even be in this area. So anytime we have a chance, our volleyball team played in Wisconsin. We like to travel to expose the college and our students to other communities, to other coaches, to other venues that might give them a better opportunity. We've had students to go ahead and compete at University of Charleston in Charleston, West Virginia. We've sent them to South Carolina, to Texas, of course, Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan. But we do have those opportunities, and that's because we like to get our students out there and to be seen by others.
Right. And then finally, for a listener that has never gone to a college sporting event, in particular a Henry Ford College sporting event, what would you say is the attraction for someone in our community? We have a nice senior population we know that listen to this show as well. What's the draw? What's the excitement of it?
The draw is really great in entertainment. I think that if whether you know the players by name or not, I think when you come in, we can all appreciate hard work and good talent on the field. And we really do have very entertaining sports for all of our teams. That's our goal, so we're always competitive. We hope that all of the listeners would consider Henry Ford their home team and would just be able to come in. It's a very family-friendly atmosphere. You have a chance to see the Hawk and interact with the Hawk, but basically cheer on our home team and help us continue to go further and further in our competitions.
Thank you so much for the information.
One last thing. Where can the listeners, if they want to come to a game, where can they go to find the teams playing at?
Our schedule is always up to date. That would be at the hfcc.edu website, athletics, just under athletics. We keep our schedules up to date, and we also put all our results online as well. So you can follow us online and see how our teams are doing. You can always get the latest game date and time. And, of course, we play right here on campus for volleyball and basketball. Our softball and baseball fields are in Taylor, Michigan. We have those addresses and all of those Google Map links right there on our website. So we try to make it really easy for everyone to be able to figure out where we are, when we're there, and just be able to come out and support us.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us today, Ms. Taylor.
Thanks again for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate
no problem.
It.
And go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
All right. We're going to have a quick pause, and when we come back, we're going to get the latest sports scores from this past weekend and then some predictions for this coming weekend, not only with the Hawks, but also other high school teams in the community. Maybe you've got somebody that you're following playing on one of these teams. Well, we've got some information coming right up. This is the new WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath.
He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties.
He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome.
And we are back. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek. And Josh is still in studio with us. Josh, it's not often enough that we get to feature our great Hawks sports programs here at the college. And one thing that I would note as a faculty member here at the school, we have so many students that come here because this is the education for them. This is what they value, and this is what works well for their budget and for their ability to get to this campus here in Dearborn and so on. And then they always think, well, I played high school basketball, I played high school baseball, I'm not going to be able to do that at Henry Ford. It's wonderful to see that these opportunities exist, and in a really competitive way, like Rochelle said, prepping students to be able to move on to four-year university and a place at some of those four-year teams.
It is. Really, I know because I coached high school basketball for about 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I've been coaching high school baseball going back to even when I was still in high school. So having a place like Henry Ford to be able to come and still play baseball or basketball or volleyball or golf or whatever the case is, that is one thing that I know students that I have coached and that I talk to really enjoy about being able to find a place where, hey, I can still go and play the game that I love to play.
Mm-hmm. And like she also said, for the other students here, I love it when during a baseball season, I remember teaching a student and he came in his baseball uniform, right? Or a basketball player comes in wearing his jersey, or a volleyball player wearing her jersey, and the other students are like, wow, really? You play for here? I mean, a lot of students feel like they missed it at a community college. Yeah. They can't root for their, you know, the green and white or the maize and blue or whatever, but come on here and do the royal blue and white, do the Hawks and enjoy that. That's a part of this. It should be a part of a college culture, and I'm excited that it is. And she's just absolutely fantastic.
She is. I mean, working with the newspaper, I have a good working relationship with the athletic department here because being the sports editor, I need to have all of these good connections. So, I mean, having her as somebody with as much knowledge as she does, mm-hmm. it really does help out.
Sweet. Well, speaking of knowledge, impart some of your knowledge on us and our wonderful listeners and tell us what's going on as follow-up to last weekend to start.
Last weekend, there was a lot of games for football inside of the city of Dearborn. You had Dearborn going up against Fordson, where Fordson came out on top 31-12. You had Fordson in that game clinching a playoff spot. You had Edsel Ford going up against Crestwood, where Crestwood lost to Edsel Ford 34-14. And then you had Dearborn Divine Child going and playing Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard, which was a close one, Alan.
14-13. And if I remember correctly, that that extra point that was the 14th one that was on the board turned out to be the difference maker, huh?
Yeah. It did. And then
I get it.
And then this week for inside of the city of Dearborn, you have Dearborn is playing host to Romulus later tonight. You have Fortson will be playing Thurston. You have Edsel Ford heading to take on Redford Union. And then you have Crestwood taking or heading over to Dearborn Heights to take on Richard or Robichaud, sorry, for any of those listeners who are Robichaud people. And then you have Divine Child play their last regular season game against Loyola. And then in the Downriver League, which Miss Taylor did bring up, we have some students coming from over there. Allen Park beat Lincoln Park last week in the Battle of Dixon-Champaign. As you can see, I'm supporting my former alma mater there. And then you have Allen Park playing host to Southgate. Melvindale will play host to Trenton. Lincoln Park is heading over to Woodhaven. And then in what I feel is the biggest game of the week in any conference, you have undefeated 7-0 Wyandotte going to Gibraltar Carlson to take on their 7-0 team.
Wyandotte number 4 ranked in Division 2, and I think Carlson is number 6 ranked in Division 3, both undefeated. It's not just the game of the week, but the game of the year as far as some of my friends on the coaching staff there at Roosevelt would say. Now, 6 wins is normally where teams need to be in order to make the playoffs. Yeah. Do we kind of, at this point, we should have an idea
We have a good idea of who is going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Are there any teams that are sort of fighting to get there?
Yeah, actually, Allen Park, if they can win out tonight and next week, they have a shot at making the playoffs at 5 wins.
Okay.
So, Allen Park is in there. You also have Woodhaven, who is already in the playoffs with a win a few weeks ago. So, you have these teams still fighting for playoff positioning. Mm-hmm. And you also have teams that are looking to hopefully continue their season going at 5-3.
Interesting. Last week we said if you tried some predictions and you did pretty well, we'd let you try it again this week. Well, you did pretty well. So that's you know, not that we're doing any wagering or anything. That's a no-no. Yeah. But just for playful activity, you were 2-3 last week?
I was 2-1 last week.
2-1. 2-1. That, two out of three one. Is what I meant. But yeah, 2-1. Great. So what do you got this time?
Okay. This week I have Edsel Ford beating Redford Union. I have Romulus going in and beating Dearborn. I have Fordson over Thurston. I have Allen Park over Southgate. And then in the game of the year, as Alan's friends from Wyandotte were calling it, I have Wyandotte going into Carlson and beating them.
Oh, you just said that because Alan's in the room.
That is not true. I have actually seen both of those teams play, and both teams they have excellent teams this year, but I do think Wyandotte has a little bit higher power of an offense to go in and beat Carlson this week.
I don't expect Wyandotte to give up a lot of points just from what I've seen of them so far this season. So, yeah, it's been that way. There's a lot of other sports coming, coming down to the end of the season. We've had tremendous success, especially here in the Dearborn area, with many of our high schools in cross-country, both boys and girls cross-country, across the board from public schools and, to private schools and academies in the area. Maybe that's something as we start to head towards next week and get to the end of the season on that we can sort of take a look at.
Yeah, we have that, and then also coming down the wire is we're going to have basketball starting here in a few weeks, both men's and women's in high school. And then you also have ice hockey getting ready to start. You have the combined Dearborn teams playing all together. I think that is Dearborn, Edsel Ford, and Fordson, something like one of those combinations. But all three Dearborn schools in the area are together as a team. So
nice. All right. Well, we look forward to more. He needs his own show is what it is, I think. So we've got to work on that. And if you're thinking, oh, sports, so much sports. Well, that's okay. We don't do this every week, all this amount. But we really feel that it's important to give our local schools and our local teams and most importantly, our local students an opportunity to have what they're doing matter and have it made aware in the community. The big networks, the big TV radio stations, they don't cover the local stuff like they should. And we don't like that, so we try to provide that opportunity. We will continue to look forward to your reports, and again, we're going to work on getting an opportunity for you to have a whole hour here somewhere once a week. So, Josh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me again.
All right, we appreciate it. We've got more on the way. We'll be talking in just a little bit with Diane Green from the Counseling Department here at Henry Ford College about the non-traditional seminar coming up right around the corner. So stay with us. More to come.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Love to design stuff and play on the internet? Henry Ford College offers a one-year certificate program in Web Technologies and Design. Advanced HTML, computer art, web authoring tools, and web multimedia are a few of the courses offered.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
The program is designed to prepare a student to take CIW Certificate Internet Webmaster exams.
For more information on CIW exams, log on to www.ciwcertified.com.
Drop by the HFC Counseling Office or log on to the web at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
How do you keep something secret? You hide it in plain sight.
There were bodies that were involved with some of these crashes. Also, some were alive.
I said, well, are you going to tell the public about it? And he says, no, we don't tell the public about this. It would panic the public.
And you know, there's a new name. It's unexplained aerial phenomenon.
UAPs. UFOs. Call them what you wish. The secret's out. We are not alone. Join your host, David Twitchell, the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. on WHFR.FM when he and his guests examine the evidence. That's the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. We are not alone.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. We are very excited at this time to welcome our dear friend and just one of the most dynamic and intelligent women, in my opinion, on this entire college campus, Diane Green. And Diane is a licensed professional counselor and represents the counseling division. And most importantly, at least for today's interview, Diane, she is really the person that is spearheading the continuation of some wonderful seminars and opportunities for you to get involved. Imagine the Possibilities, it's called, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Diane, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. And you are so generous with your compliments. Thank you so much.
I say what I mean.
Can I say?
Yeah. So this is Imagine the Possibilities, which alone is insightful and exciting and interesting and has a certain slant to it. But the sort of the subheading of this is non-traditional careers in technology. Mm-hmm. And this is a seminar that is ongoing. You've done this before. And before it has been successful, we know this will be certainly no exception. But how did this whole thing get started and what's its intent?
Well, it was 11 years ago. This is like our 11th event, and we were looking at some programming possibilities to promote programs to non-traditional students. And we kind of honed in on two areas of the college, health careers and technology. And my thought was that at that time, looking at the fact that those areas were underrepresented by gender, that we would focus on those areas, giving light to our technology programs to women and our health careers and nursing programs to men. So we've built on that over the years, and I can remember at one point coming to you and asking your assistance and some other kinds of things that we could do to promote the program more heavily to the community, one of which was to take advantage of the radio station and come in and talk to the community about the programming. So we did that and began to see our numbers increase. Currently, we are still looking at the areas of technology and health careers. We're still giving that focus to our women students for technology, our men in terms of health careers and nursing, but the events are open to all students to come and participate and get this information. And again, the emphasis was really on making the community. We expanded it now to include high schools in terms of the breadth and depth of programs that we actually have here at Henry Ford. Not everyone knows the richness of program offerings that we make available. So that was the main purpose of getting that information out to people who needed to know it.
Got it. I'm guessing that one day we'll hope for a time that we can say non-traditional doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, kind of like we want to be able to say gender equity. What's gender equity? Yeah, well, we know that's not going to happen anytime soon. But with that being said, this certainly is that that hopefully potential stepping stone. This
Absolutely.
Is leading to that
Absolutely.
End goal. Some of the particulars of the event, if you would, and again specifically who can participate, and then we'll go into the actual agenda after
okay.
that.
Anyone can participate. Anyone from the community who is interested in returning to school, who may have an interest in any of the programs that are being highlighted on this October 25th outing that we're doing. They can be high school, they can be older returning adults, they can be individuals who are looking at career changes. And we actually do have older adult students who fall into those categories who are wanting very, very specific information as they look at what direction do I go in now. So that's kind of the focus. We start out bright and early. Registration starts at 7:30 in the morning, and we greet everyone with nice hot coffee and a light continental breakfast. We do have a lunch that's included because it's a fairly long day. We finish up at about 2, and we have door prizes. Everybody has an opportunity to not win, but get a door prize. So that's a piece of that as well. So we try to not only be informative, but we want to be fun and we want to feed you.
All my favorite things, absolutely. So this topic is technology. This is the technology-based one, and it makes perfect sense that it is being held in the Patterson Technology Building in the Gaffari the Gaffari Room in the Tech Building.
Yes.
So students will actually even be able to kind of walk through and see some of the exciting technology that they might be potentially studying in the future.
That is actually built into the programming.
Nice.
We have lead faculty who come in and speak very specifically about their program. They're then taken to the labs, and I find we've been doing this 11 years, and it's exciting every time we do it because the labs are constantly updating to keep up with the changes in technology. And this is probably one of the most enlightening pieces of the experience is for students to see what they will actually be doing in the labs, what kind of equipment they will be working with, and seeing demonstrations on how that equipment is used. So that becomes a real important piece of this.
Nice. Let's go down the list if we can to talk about the actual specifics of what potential students will have an opportunity to at least get a peek at and to see if it might be of something something of interest, like you indicated.
Okay. Greg Lasowski comes in and speaks briefly to the students about our energy technology program, and we have any number of degrees and certificates that are offered in that area. It's just very, very rich, from renewable energy to HVAC, and all of the certificate programs that fall in between and around those degrees, and there are others. Mark Sidlick, who is lead faculty over our electrical tech program, comes in, and they have an opportunity to go upstairs in the technical center to visit his lab. We do a slight twist. We're back in the lecture room, as I might call it, and Dan Kearney, who is with our criminal justice program, kind of comes in and talks about law enforcement, probation, parole, and how that piece fits for individuals who are interested in that line of work. We have machine tool technology, CNC, and I find that just to be an amazing lab, because it's a two-part where the prospective student is able to look at the tool and die kind of process of making those tool pieces, to then going next door to these amazing machines, CNC machines, and getting a demonstration on how they operate. And Guy takes the participants through that. Eric Gockenbach, who heads up our culinary arts and our hospitality area, comes in and presents. And I guess the really cool piece that's happened there, not only do we have certificates and associate's degrees, this is the one area at the college that in fact does offer a four-year baccalaureate degree to students. So he talks about the intricacies of that process and building on that to the bachelor level. Chad Austin comes in and does a piece on our Career Services Center, and they enjoy that because it talks about the jobs, the possibilities, the outcomes of those efforts, but also the resume writing, the dressing for success, that kind of thing. We also have architectural construction technology, amazing lab there. Students really get into the idea of, I can actually build a little house, and be real motivated by that. And Chad Rickert does a great job with that. And then Marcy Kana, she talks to the participants about the Computer Information Systems Program, but more specifically the CIS Information Assurance Program, cyber security. And she makes that really interesting because she has them do some play exercises that are investigative in nature. And then we round out with our industrial drafting and CAD program. We have a couple of students who do presentations. One's in criminal justice, but always there's been one with the CAD, and that just opens up the eyes of individuals as to the possibilities there. Yeah.
Boy, what a lineup.
It's great.
Goodness gracious. And what I notice over the years, these 11 years or 11 opportunities for people to take a peek at something they normally wouldn't be introduced to, perhaps, is that while the types of jobs are shifting and changing, it seems like the thread of immediacy and need, mm-hmm. as well as sort of staying on the cutting edge, mm-hmm. is consistent. So
yes.
These presenters are talking about opportunities for learning, but certainly opportunities for a good, healthy career.
Absolutely. And the other piece I want to stress about that is the programs that we're looking at are programs that are supported through Perkins, the Carl D. Perkins Act, which supports programs of technology, the idea that students can go into a program and at end be employable. And all of these programs that we will be highlighting, they have to stay on the cutting edge. So students coming into them are experiencing the most current and up-to-date technology and going through their program of study.
Nice. I've been seeing this TV commercial that I think is absolutely adorable, and I can't even think of the company it's for, but it's a little girl, and she figures out some little newfangled way to, like something with her in her room, some technology, and then she has a thing that makes her bed, and she gets a little older, and then she's a thing that cuts the grass for her so she doesn't have to. And then the next thing, it turns the pages in her classroom for her, so it's all this technology. Then it ends with her being a young adult in a
big company.
Office environment, a business environment, and she has created some way to route to do some type of testing on this technology, and she's all these guys around her, and it's pretty exciting to see that. So whenever I see that commercial, I think about this.
Absolutely,
this is exactly the same motivation.
And I've seen that commercial, and it's great. The idea that when you think about heating and cooling, when you think about electronics, you tend to think more often in relation to men doing that kind of work, and men have done that work for many, many, many years. So it's pretty cool when you have someone to come in and check your electrical system, and you have a young woman stepping in with all of that attire and doing that work and doing it very well. So we just kind of want to emphasize that there are possibilities, great possibilities, entrepreneurial possibilities as it relates to going into these areas, coming out and being able to start one's own business. So we open it up to everyone to come in and get this information, but wanting young women to understand that this stuff is possible. You see, there are women in the labs, in fact, going through the program. So that's kind of what we're hoping to see happen.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, we wish you much success.
Thank
you. With this edition of Imagine the Possibilities, Non-Traditional Careers in Technology. Again, it's taking place Wednesday, October 25th, starting in the Ghaffari Center in the Tech Building. And we are looking forward to an early start. It's going to be a busy day, a hectic day. Thank you for the food that you're providing for guests and for participants. Registration starts at 7:30. But so you can just kind of show up, right?
Right.
No pre-registration necessary.
Right. And my partners in crime in getting this up and going every year, Brenda Heldreth, who is the coordinator of our student outreach and support program, works arm in arm with me, and Cynthia Anderson, who is her assistant. So the three of us are there to greet you when you arrive, hand you a nice hot cup of coffee and a muffin and some fruit, and then welcome you in for a day of a lot of wonderful information and experiences.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Looking forward
Thank
to getting stories after the fact, too, about all the great people you met and all the great partnerships that might have been created and excitement. The counseling area on campus, that will be a whole nother discussion one of these days, but just a quick connection if somebody wants to reach you to learn more about both this event and anything related to our wonderful counseling department here on campus.
I can be reached in the counseling office, Diane Green. My direct dial is 845-9748. Of course, we're in the 313 zone, and individuals are able to call and I did not bring those numbers with me, are able to call the student outreach and support office to register. We would like for individuals to be able to do that. So we just have a count to make sure we have enough food. But you can call me directly and then I can take that information. Again, that's Diane Green, 313-845-9748.
Wonderful. Thank you, Diane, for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
All the best.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We've got more on the way here on the new WHFR Journal. Please stay with us.
Saturday, October 21st, it's the 10th Annual Record Show. WHFR is hosting its annual record show, and you don't want to miss it. In addition to our own collection, there will be independent vendors featuring CDs, vinyl records, videos, cassette tapes, 8-track tapes, memorabilia. There will be door prizes, giveaways, and much more. When? Saturday, October 21st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Where? In Building M, in the Student Center on the campus of Henry Ford College. Early admission from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Come early. Stay all day. Leave for lunch and come back if you want. Shop until you drop. Whatever you do, just don't miss it. Saturday, October 21st, it's the 10th Annual Record Show. For more information, go to our website, whfr.fm, and click on the Record Show icon.
Andy Parks, the host of Strictly Gospel right here on the station that's making waves. And we are on every Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. We feature local as well as independent gospel artists representing all genres of gospel music. Gospel jazz, gospel hip-hop, urban contemporary, praise and worship, you name it. All things gospel, but Strictly Gospel right here on the station that's making waves at WHFR.FM.
And this is the new WHFR Journal. Breezing in at this moment is the one and only Steve Glazer of the Fine Arts area here on campus, and talking a little bit about the upcoming new exhibit in the gallery, in the Sisson Art Gallery. Boy, I printed out some pictures, Steve. This one looks really cool. We've got just a few minutes, but tell us about the figurative condition.
I enjoy myself figurative artwork. It went out of style in the 50s, actually 40s, 50s, and 60s for a while, then came back in. But it's ceramics people started doing figurative work, contemporary ceramicists, when graduate schools became the thing, I guess, in the 70s and 80s. And the three artists that are working here all work in a figurative idea, the figurative style with clay. And the artists are Ben Lambert, who teaches at Alma College in the middle of Michigan, Clayton Keyes, who teaches at Westminster College in Salt Lake City, Utah, and Luke Ewing, who is a graduate student working towards his MFA degree at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. And this came about, or the show came about, when I met Ben. We are both on the board for the Michigan Ceramic Art Association, and saw his work and said, wow, I'd love to have a show of your work in the gallery. And he said, well, should it be just me, or should it be someone else or other people? I said, well, what do you have in mind? And so he brought, or mentioned, Clayton, who he had met when they both did a workshop together. And then we had tentatively another person from Michigan who backed out, and Benjamin said, well, I know a guy in Indiana who was an undergrad at Edinburgh University, Pennsylvania, when I was a grad student there, and that's Luke Ewing. And they all work with figures, but in different ways. And I find that real interesting. From their artist statement, And I'm going to go in reverse order from what I just talked about. Luke Ewling deals a lot with people who have Alzheimer's. And he says in his artist statement that he's always felt an affinity towards the aged or the elderly, and being able to connect with them, being able to understand them. And having worked as an orderly once or a couple of summers when I was in undergrad school, I remember particular people in a nursing home that I was working at and their personalities. And I think back now and it's like, I wonder what in their life inspired this one woman who was on the unit that I was an orderly in, who wanted her wheelchair to be pushed real fast down the hall. And it's like, so it's like thinking back, it's like, yeah, what type of person was she when she was younger? It's like, yeah, what inspired this later on in life? And then Clayton Keyes talks about in his artist statement of growing up in the Midwest and ending up teaching in Utah and growing up in basically the Bible Belt, but dealing with gender identities himself. So his work is a lot about questioning gender identities. And then Ben Lambert grew up in Maine in an area that had a river running through the district and stuff. And so apparently, from his artist statement, I gather he did a lot of fishing. So his work is how people interact with each other and how people interact with nature and how sometimes nature interacts with nature, how animals interact with each other.
Oh, there's a lot going on there. We have just another minute. The opening reception is Monday.
Monday, 4:30 to 7. Okay. And we have a special event going on during the day on Monday. And Ben Lambert and Clayton Keyes will both be doing demos throughout the day from about 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in the ceramics lab here at Henry Ford College. That's open to the public. So I don't know if no one will come or 100 people will come. But it's, yeah, I've sent emails out to a bunch of high school teachers and college professors around the state or through Metro Detroit, at least, you know, trying to inspire encourage people to come, because I look back and think of, you know, I can name most of the visiting artists that I got to experience when I was in school and what they would bring in something different, something that I wasn't used to seeing. And so this is, yeah, I tell my students, this is your opportunity to like meet someone who is, you know, different. They see me 30 times a semester for 3 hours each time. It's like, here's someone you're going to get to see for a couple hours who's going to be totally different style of working. Ask them questions or at least watch what they're doing.
Nice.
And so it's open to the public. Please come and join us.
Great. Free of charge.
Free of charge.
Wonderful.
And
it's this Monday.
Yeah, and the exhibition runs through November 22nd. It's open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and till 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. So if someone can't get in during normal hours, and then one Saturday, Saturday, November 4th, I'll be sitting in the gallery 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Please come and bother me. I want some business in there. It's like last time I sat there and I had one person all day come in.
But it was worth it for that one person, right? But we want to double that at least this time around.
Yes, that would be great.
That's great. Steve, the Sisson Art Gallery is located, as you know, in the Fine Arts Building, Building F, here on campus, on the Evergreen Road campus location of Henry Ford College. And in 30 seconds, you talk about the figurative condition, the human psyche, and you've given the stories of the three artists. But literally, I'm looking at figures. I'm looking at human faces in some form or another.
Yes.
So this is a literal figurative condition.
It's figurative, with the exception of a few of Ben's pieces are animals or combination. There's a couple that are part human, part animal faces. But yes, they're dealing with figures and how we look at people or how. Yeah, how do we carry out our lives on a one-to-one basis with those around us?
Nice. All right. Well, Steve, I know you have to go, but thanks for scooting in, and we'll let you scoot out just as quickly. We have just a couple of minutes left, and I know, Alan, a couple of things to talk about as well. So can we take a few seconds of a little pause here and then jump in and finish it up? Thank you. live broadcasting the new WHFR Journal. We just have a couple of minutes left. This hour has just flown by. Do want to remind you that when we have an opportunity to bring in some of the candidates for City of Dearborn positions to talk about their positions as it relates to your potential voting or not voting for them, we're going to do that. So we hope in the next few weeks to bring in some more city council candidates as well. In the meantime, though, there is election information that you might need, and you can get it at vote411.org, vote411.org. That's through the League of Women Voters, the Dearborn Heights location. Very, very active. They encourage, as do we, informed and active participation in your local government. And the League of Women Voters never supports or opposes candidates or political parties. It's just a way to get you the information that you need so you can make an informed decision. So keep on the lookout for that. And the big read's coming up, huh?
You know, I just love this program. And this is, what, I think the third, at least the third time that, maybe the fourth, no, third time that I can remember that the Big Read, which is kind of a national program, is taking place here in Dearborn at the Dearborn Public Library. I remember a few years ago, Call of the Wild by Jack London was the theme. And then they did another one based around Edgar Allan Poe a few years ago. And this time around, and it's kind of hard to describe exactly what this is, but it's kind of like in the spring of next year, it'll be sort of a month-long celebration based around a particular literary work. And this time around, The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri, which is a tremendous, tremendous piece of literature, is going to be featured, but featured in a number of different ways. The book was originally published in 2003. There was a film version of it, about 10 years ago, if I remember correctly. And there's going to be a number of different programs. I guess kind of the overall title of it is What's in a Name? And it's going to be focusing on names, family history, and the immigrant experience. And obviously something that's uniquely situated for the city of Dearborn. And they're going to be exploring it in a lot of different ways, including a few things coming up, which are going to be recipes. Obviously, food is a big part of individual cultures. But before we get to that, and maybe we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks, but there's going to be something coming up in actually next week, if I remember reading it, in terms of things that are going to be coming up related to the story. Coming up next week on the 23rd, I guess starting next week at Dearborn High School, they're going to be doing a bunch of different videotapings where people can tell their own immigrant story. This is going to take place, the video project portion of it is your way to have a story about your, you know, immigrant experience or your name or your family history. You can reserve a spot to have it be included in a series of film clips that are going to be presented in the big kickoff for the Big Read, which will take place next March. Time slots are for 30 minutes. They say the interviews take about 15 minutes. Give you a chance to get in there and get comfortable. It's going to take place at Dearborn High School, I believe, next week, Monday through Friday, and also on Wednesday evening at the Guido Theater at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. To reserve a spot and for any more information related to this, you can call 313-943-2330. Or go to DearbornLibrary.org to